Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello and welcome in our listeners now at WAAF Boston's legendary rock station, also 96.5 WCMF Rochester's classic rock, and our friends at Rock 100.5 The Cats in Oklahoma City. Big show for you today. Drunk in Charge, Ryan Castle will be in to sit and spin, and today we get the Hot 100 Top 10 Songs of All Times. As the Men's Room is back, and today we're talking about what was burned or on fire as a man burned down his home with his mother and brother inside over an argument that started with a box of Cheez-Its crackers.
That explains it right there.
Down in Atlanta, we have the story of the woman outside of Pittsburgh who was cooking turkey burgers. She says she followed the instructions to put the frozen patty into a pan on medium heat with a little bit of vegetable oil. It exploded, and she is suing the grocery chain. And then we have this story, and to be honest with you, us telling you this story does not do the justice as the video does. Bobby Jensen, he is a guitarist who fills the role of Paul Stanley in the Kiss tribute band Hairball.
Listen to the details. Google this. You're right. We cannot explain how awesome it is.
Is there any way there, Wobbin, we can put up, if you like, the Men's Room on Facebook, this video of the Kiss tribute band Hairball catching on fire? While playing the show in full Kiss makeup and attire, Jensen accidentally caught on fire while the band began playing, you know, Detroit Rock City.
Well, of course.
Remarkably, Jensen did not miss a beat. He did not miss a chord. He did not stop singing while the band and two separate stagehands tried frantically to put out the flames.
Oh, he kept going, man.
According to Classic Rock, or Ultimate Classic Rock, it's the most metal performance we've ever seen. He said after the incident,
jeez,
I live an Evel Knievel kind of life, so if I'm on fire a little bit, I don't care. That's just part of the fun. I knew I was I knew I was on fire right away. And that wasn't a wig. That's my hair. It was really nice and foofy before the show. Now I have a much better Alice Cooper type cut.
Yeah, I bet you do, man.
Yes, exactly.
But he kept playing. I give him full credit.
I mean, honest to God, there's one stagehand who comes out and tries to put it out. He thinks he maybe put it out. Then he goes off stage, and it turns out he doesn't.
Right.
Then someone comes out with either talcum powder, and they just poof him on the head. Now, he has not stopped playing the guitar the entire time.
And singing.
His head is legitimately on fire. And then the two stagehands put it out, and after they put it out and he keeps rocking, the crowd goes wild.
Absolutely.
They go nuts.
Do you think the real Paul Stanley would have done that?
Hell no.
Exactly.
What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Good. So I was about 15 or 16, and my cousin was deep frying something in a pan on the stove, and all of a sudden she screamed, it's on fire. So I went running in there, and I put the lid on the pan, and it didn't do nothing right away. So I kind of had a panic mode. I put it in the sink and turned the water on. And everyone knows what happens when you do that.
Except you, yeah.
I did it at the moment. But I didn't know. I just kind of panicked.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, ball flames right up the ceiling. I left the water on, turned around, ran all the way down the kitchen, into the living room, and just a big, huge ball of flame chased me. And my aunt comes up from downstairs to see me running from a ball of flames. And so then I stopped, turned around, I went back in the kitchen, grabbed a fire extinguisher to put out my grandma's vintage curtains, and it burnt the curtains all up, it burnt her plant that was hanging in the window, and of course black everywhere. And it stayed like that for quite a few years until my uncle got around to ended up replacing the sheetrock.
I bet it did. You probably did a justice by burning grandma's vintage curtains. They'd probably been there for 30, 40 years. They were dated. She was never going to change them. It was going to be the same curtains forever.
It sounds
now
horrible,
they get
but
some
you're
new
right.
curtains.
You're absolutely
I mean,
right.
Grandparents don't change what they've got. They're just fine with what they have.
And they have weird stuff. My grandmother used to have this huge collection of, like, glass animals. But they were everywhere, man. And as a kid, they're cool. She wasn't a kid. She was, like, 68 years old. Like, and the weird, they had the, I don't know how to explain this color. It is somewhere between mustard yellow, gold, and brown. And for this was the color that grandparents loved on the furniture. Then they put those, like, plastic things over the cushion.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, this is in Virginia. So you go there in the summer, it's as hot as F. It's humid. Like, you'd sit down on these sofas, and they never took the plastic off the sofas.
Oh,
every
no.
time you stood
oh,
up,
no.
it was... And I hated it, man. You couldn't get comfortable.
My grandparents had the plastic mat walkways that kind of had the teeth in
little
the bottom of them.
Yeah, spikes on the bottom.
And then their living room, you couldn't go in, and there was a gate. Now, keep in mind, they had no animals. They had no children. They were all grown up and out of the house. But they had a gate in front of the living room, so you would not walk in there. You could look in there, but you couldn't walk in there because they just got carpet. It was new. It was 5 years old.
But that was the thing. We're growing up, man. Like, everybody had either a formal dining room or the formal living room, but, like, you weren't allowed in there. And I
think,
felt like
if my grandmother...
We only went in there at Christmas and Thanksgiving.
I think if my grandmother had a friend over from church, they would open it up.
Sure.
And they could sit down in there on Sunday
and
have some tea and whatever, I think. But other than that, I don't think that was it.
I don't know. It was weird. Like, why do you want a room you don't use?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's not like someone died in there, man.
Yeah,
it's like, goddamn.
They call that, what do they call it now? A dining room. What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Here we go. So I was in a convoy in Iraq, and I was passing another convoy. There was a fuel tanker on fire, but we decided to pass it anyway. And fire shot over my head as we passed, and... long story short, I got a little bit of my hair singed. Not too big of a deal. I know there was another guy from Afghanistan calling. That was a way better story. But
well, it depends on your perspective.
You didn't have a helmet on?
Yes, I did.
Did you end up with a bowl cut?
The face hair still felt the singe.
Okay. Well, there's nothing you can really do if a tanker's on fire. I guess you just had to get by it on the side of the roadway and just fly by it?
We just kept going. We're kind of going slow because we're near the base. So as we're going by, the commander decided it was okay. So as we passed by, I guess I was just the unlucky guy, and boom, it shot across my head and just kind of singed my hairs.
Okay.
That's
still
my hairs.
Still pretty crazy, though.
I like when I say it plural. My hairs.
My hairs.
Singed my hairs.
I look like the guy in Pink Floyd, Man in the Wall, didn't have any eyebrows.
I don't remember a chick I used to work with in the kitchen. She was cool. And this is when you learn something new about people, right? And she was very cool. We got along. The restaurant opens, and this particular night, she's working sauté. So she's in front of all the burners and the oven. She's making whatever she's making. Everyone's busy. She opens the oven door, and she's bent over doing whatever she's got to do to her food. And then out of nowhere, just... you turn around, and she's just holding her teeny tiny boobs, just holding them back and up. We're like... the hell happened? Well, she had two nipple rings.
Oh.
Right? So when she had the, she didn't think about it. When she leaned over the oven, they started heating up and basically cauterized inside of her nipple.
Oh.
Yeah, like she she had to, because she was in a lot of pain, right? Because first I'm smiling like,
ow.
Yeah, right, man? She's like, I don't think so. So she went to the bathroom, like both of them had like, I don't know, kind of melted into her nipples. Yeah, I was like, I didn't know you were pierced, but now I know.
Okay. What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. The other two Chris's fooled me. I started yapping and wasn't my turn.
It's okay.
All right. So back in the day, I used to do a lot of drugs.
All right.
A lot of people. So me and my ex-girlfriend, we wanted to do some ecstasy. And she wanted to, get down. So she sets the mood, lights candles, and we start going at it on the couch. And then this is my first time doing ecstasy, mind you. And it's just getting intense, and the room just starts, the colors are getting bright. I'm getting hot. I'm just like, oh my God, this drug is crazy. And then my foot starts to get really hot. I'm like, man, what is this, man? What's going on? And I look back, and we knocked a pillow onto a candle that started the room on fire. And instinct, I grab the pillow, and it's on the hardwood floor, and I'm out of my mind. So I'm trying to stomp this thing out with my feet, naked as a jaybird, burning the hell out of myself. And then I sober up a little bit and realize, oh, yeah, just pick this thing up and walk cool, calm, and collectively to the kitchen sink and turn on the water.
Did you, if you're stomping on a flaming pillow naked, I mean, did you burn any of the sack goatee? You know what I mean?
Like, no, those were all right. Those were all right. Okay. My foot was pretty burnt. I had a melted nylon stuck to my toe for about a week.
But okay, let me ask you, how much of your buzz went away after that?
A fair amount.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems like a very sobering experience. Were you able to get back into the groove after that?
I think later on in the evening, but not for quite a while.
Okay, I would guess that that would kill the mood as well.
Yes, it did. It did.
That, yeah.
Sobering things. I mean,
it's fine, bam. Just not then.
Right,
you know what I mean? Just not then. I like the fact that he's tripping, like, ooh, the color's getting brighter. It's because the pillow's on fire, bro.
Yeah, I remember like, oh, I am really, really, Craig fell off the deck.
Right.
You know, that's amazing, as soon as something happens, you're like, I am fine. We got to take care of him, you know?
That's our version of the Incredible Hulk.
No kidding. I mean, it's just whenever you have something
drunk to sober
that happens, it is a sobering experience. I mean, you just snap right out of it.
But what pisses me off is you will get the buzzkill. It becomes a sobering experience. It doesn't matter how drunk you are, right? You rise to the occasion through the rest of the night or day, whatever you had to deal with, right? You've got it together. But you still wake up with a hangover the next day.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You got rid of the drunk, but you still have the hangover. That just pisses me off.
Buzzkill's either a very serious situation or just an annoying person.
Yeah.
One of the two, and you're like, I this isn't even fun. Like,
ruining my high.
There's nowhere I can go. I can't escape this person.
They keep talking to me.
What was burned or on fire? 844-999. Hold on, more of your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
This is a horrible story. I'll give you the title. Man dies in toilet fire at Baltimore Ravens Stadium. Firefighters say a man died in a fire in a portable toilet near the Ravens Stadium. News outlets say police. The fire was in the parking lot of the M&T Bank Stadium. It did not appear to be criminal. A Baltimore fire spokesperson says a security guard saw a man engulfed in flames running from a burning toilet. By the time the medics arrived, the man was dead and two other portable toilets were also on fire.
Jesus.
Man has not been identified. It's unclear how long he'd been in the toilet, how he got on fire, the cause of the fire, still investigation. The stadium was not hosting anything during the day. No one knows anything. They just saw him come out of the toilet on fire.
I'm from Baltimore. I know where the stadiums are. I'm saying the guy was cooking up his crack in there.
And caught multiple toilets on fire.
Yeah. Yeah,
how
I mean, I don't
on
believe
fire?
That.
Well, it's like plastic. Like, what did you have in there that was that flammable?
Well, that's what I mean, man. When they're cutting down, whatever, just knowing the city. And look, I don't know. I could be way off base. But if I had to guess, yeah, somebody cooking up a little something. Something because the portable toilets around Baltimore essentially are kind of like pop-up labs. You know, you can go in there and use the bathroom or go in there and cut your drugs.
What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola.
Hola, bitches and Spartans. So mine involves my four friends and myself when we were 12 years old in seventh grade.
Okay.
We hated our school and decided it would be a good idea to set the bathroom on fire.
Set the during school in session?
Yes. All and right. We were 12. We thought this wasn't a horrible idea, and I was one of the smarter ones in the group, I thought, so I didn't want to be around when the actual fire was lit, and we had new fancy cameras, so I made a point of being in the lunch line when they set the fire, but apparently not telling on them and knowing about him makes you just as guilty.
Yeah, funny how that works. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys choose to set the bathroom on fire?
So we'd orchestrated this, and one of the kids brought a duct tape can of lighter fluid to school, and we poured lighter fluid in the three urinals, or he did, because, you know, I didn't want to be anywhere around when they actually lit the fire, because, you know, that's how you actually get in trouble before you're smart enough to know that, and you just have to know about it. But they pulled a toilet paper fuse between the three urinals and then lit it up. And it was during lunch, so, you know, quite a large commotion ensued after it was discovered the bathrooms were on fire.
How big was the fire? How big was the fire?
A lot bigger than we expected it to be. You know, you think a urinal and just a little, you know, 4-inch flame, and no, the flames kind of went all the way up the wall and kind of scorched the ceiling a little bit.
And you're in, like, sixth grade doing this?
Seventh grade.
Miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Looks much smarter.
Did you guys, did they evacuate the school?
No. So what happened is our very close family friend at the time, who was the vice principal, ran in the bathroom and flushed the toilet very quickly and, you know, put the fire out. But the flames were, you know, burning for quite a while before that happened. And the fire marshal let us know that if the fire had maintained flame while it went down the pipe, it probably would have blown about a 30-foot hole 10 feet deep right outside the school where the sewer is.
Oh, that's a nice wake-up call.
Okay.
So how much trouble...
Nothing's flammable or something.
How much trouble do you get in after you are exposed for being a part of this?
So I held out until the very end of the day and said I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anybody involved. And then they brought in all the signed confessions from the other people. And said, what did I say? Because I meant that's what happened.
And then what's your parents' reaction to this?
Well, actually, we all got hauled off to juvie. And because it was on Friday, they wouldn't accept any bail or anything. So we stayed in almost the whole weekend. And my parents got my bail together and got me out on Sunday. And everybody else, all of the other four of us, we were dubbed the Port Orchard Five after that.
What was juvie like for a weekend?
It was really scary, actually. The first cell they put me in was with a guy who was 18, and he was in for murder, and he was waiting to get moved to the big jail because they were full.
Wow.
And he informed me I'd be giving him my snack and my blanket and all this other stuff. And luckily, my dad knew the guy that ran the juvie, so he made a phone call, and I was moved to another cell with a very large Indian fellow who I was told was named Bubba, who turned out to be the nicest guy I ever met.
Okay.
We had a great, awesome time.
That's good. All right. Well, that's a better situation.
He cuddled. He was sweet to me.
What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hola.
First time caller, long time listener.
Hey, welcome to the show.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. So back when I was about 21, 22, we would go up to my buddy's cabin near Fish Lake for men's weekend. And so men's weekend quickly turned into more girls showing up. And so the macho side of us all started popping off. And one of my buddies wanted to get a brand. So that came about. And one of the girls volunteered to start branding him. And he wanted to get a C on his chest because his cousin was there. And his cousin was going to get a C on his chest.
At any point this is going on, did anyone say, hey, man, I'm telling you, you're going to regret this idea?
Is this a real brand or is this a coat hanger brand?
No, this is it was a coat hanger heated up on the stove.
Okay, so it's not like a true cattle prod.
Right,
this
right.
is an actual just, you know, here, we'll give you a C because exactly. that's the closest thing we can make with this coat hanger.
Exactly. And so they go, no one says this is a bad idea. We all gather around and this is going to be brilliant. So she proceeds to give them both a brand, and one of my other buddies jumps up and says, I want a C too. So the C from being cousins went to being cabin, C for cabin, because now they're all up there and there's no longer C for cousins. And so the guy that had the C on his chest, one of them, he's always wanted to have a 12 on his arm. So he said, well, I want to get a 12 now. So he gets a 12 on his forearm. And that was that. That was the end of the night. And we all go home, and I'm living with him at the time. And I hadn't seen him for a few days, and I was wondering where the heck he went. And I come home from work, and there he is sitting on the couch all bandaged up. And I said, what happened to you? And he said, he had to go to the hospital because it started getting infected on his arm.
Oh, yeah.
And, spent a week in there, and he said if he waited any longer, they were going to have to amputate his arm.
Oh, Jesus. Wiz, he got a bad infection then.
Oh, real bad one, yeah.
And yeah. I guess it was the brand permanent? Like, that never went away, right?
No, he's still got him. No, he's got a few on him. So.
I saw a couple buddies do that, like 18, 19 years old.
Sure.
Stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know, man.
You want in? No. No.
Why not?
No. It's like it hurts. Because I'll go, if I wanted to get something done, I'd probably go to a tattoo parlor.
Yeah. You know parlor, I mean? Listen to you.
It'd be permanent.
Tattoo parlor.
Tattoo parlor.
Dames.
And, you know, dame tattooed on my arm.
Yeah, I don't know. Man, I mean, if you like branding, man, you know, you do you. It's just not something I would do. Under any circumstance.
And it smells.
Well, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, boys.
Hola.
So this happened when I was about 18. My grandfather decided to light a motorcycle gas tank on fire, and had like old gas in it, and he was just trying to get rid of it. So we decided to start it on fire, and he goes over and kicks it, and it makes a little poof. And he decides to go away, and I was like, well, my grandfather can do it. I can do that.
Uh-oh.
And I do it, but this time it went crazy. Big fireball, my whole body. Yeah. The last thing you're thinking about, though, is stop, dropping, and roll. So I just ran as fast as I could, and everything on the backside of my body caught on fire, everything, except the shirt I was wearing.
So, like, your ass was burned up and all that?
Yeah, the shorts melted to my ass. My shoes melted. The only thing that didn't get burnt was the shirt I was wearing. And very ironic is that the shirt I was wearing said, I put out, and I had a fire extinguisher on it.
Oh, no way. I put out.
I got tattooed on my arm.
Did that shirt ever work in a situation for picking up a date?
Yes, it did. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Probably had a little while ago, but yeah. Only thing on my body that didn't get burnt, I have a stripe where my shorts and my shirt, you know, had a perfect amount of skin, and it just burned a stripe across my back.
And it's still there?
Yeah, it's still there to this day.
Good times.
Damn, man. Yep. I've never had clothes melt to me. That always seems to be
want,
the worst.
I wouldn't want clothes to melt to me.
Well, I know, but even, like, again, when you're cooking, you know, people wear chef's pants, and they're loose, and so you can rip them away, you know, as fast as you can, man. But I hear about people wearing, I don't know, like these weird synthetic jeans or something, and, like, their pants melt to them. Do you remember when underoos were introduced?
Absolutely.
When we were kids?
Yep.
All right,
yep.
So when underoos were introduced, and God forbid you do anything like a recall back in the day, but underoos are introduced. I'm at the age where all I want for Christmas now, of course, are underoos. Because instead of tidy whities, you can like Superman or Spider-Man, mm-hmm. whatever. So parents across the country bought underoos, and then parents follow up by taking pictures of their kids, of course, wearing the underoos. But back then, you know, it wasn't your phone. It was an actual camera. And if it's at night, you had to put a flash on your camera, and it was a separate cartridge that you wiggled into it. But when you took pictures, man, the flash on your camera literally sparked.
It did.
Actual sparks mm-hmm. came off of the thing, okay? So it turns out underoos are remarkably, probably not now, but at the time were remarkably flammable. And it wasn't so much that they burst into flames, but these clothes were melting the kids. So Christmas Day comes and goes. My parents got the pictures of me, all this crap. But I remember the next day on the national news, there's talking about, like, across the country, little Billy got the underoos he always wanted until they mom took
no!
a picture. And he burst into flame like, Jesus Christ.
Good times.
Oh, yeah.
What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola, guys.
Hola.
So, hey, about 8 years ago, my kid, he has a buddy that's got a fireworks stand in Puyallup. It was the 5th of July, and they were closing up shop, and they thought it'd be a good idea to light a 1,000-foot-long roll of fuse.
I mean, it does sound fun. I'm just old enough to know better, but that does sound like a lot of fun.
Is it in a spoil or like a spool? Do you lay it out? What do you do?
Yeah, it was like a 1,000-foot-long roll, like a commercial roll that they could just cut off and give out to whoever if you needed an extension fuse to go with whatever.
Okay.
So they go in, he lights it, and he tosses it, and of course it's by some grass next to a fireworks stand. So he immediately goes to grab it and throw it again, and that's when the fuse went up. He went up, huge ball of flame. I wasn't there right then when that happened, you know, but I immediately got phone calls, me and his mom both. We go from our house in Tacoma to Puyallup to meet him there in the back of the ambulance before the helicopter's getting there to medevac to Harborview. You know, it's just the most, it was horrible. His skin's boiling on him. He was in a pair of nylon basketball shorts, a pair of Nikes, and a tank top. And that's all that he had on when he went up. And,
well, that might have.
Yeah, he was in hard. Go ahead.
Was that a better thing that he didn't have as many clothes on, or is that a good thing?
I don't know. I don't have that answer. You know, the nylon shorts, they basically just melted like what you guys were just talking about. He had third-degree burns over about 60% of his body.
Wow.
How old was he?
Now he's good. What's that?
How old was he when this happened?
He's 33 now, so 25?
Okay. And does that, I mean, are there still visible scars from all of this?
A few on his elbow. There's a small one on his cheek. Some down on the back of his calf.
Does he have, like, a patch of hair on his forehead from where they transplanted skin or anything like that?
No, they didn't have to do anything like that. There might be some from his butt down to his leg or something of the sort. I think there was some of that going on.
All right.
But no visible scars or loss of hair like that.
Did he smell weird, man, like when you showed up?
It was awful. He was boiling. His skin was boiling.
What do you do?
It was horrific.
You can't lay down. You can't lay down, I would guess, because that would hurt. I mean, how do you find, is it you're so drugged up on something like morphine that you just to get rid of the pain?
That's what they do instantly. They make all the pain go away.
And how long?
It was a horrible thing.
And how long do you have to be that doped up? Weeks?
He was, for weeks, you know, because he was going into the scrubs and all of that in Harborview. And so, you know, they're giving you fentanyl lollipops and stuff like that, you know, before you go into the scrubs. And, you know, which is really just a brush that's getting rid of all the dead skin.
I hope no one ever makes the mistake of picking up the fentanyl lollipop instead of
Halloween
like
or something.
The Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I hope there's never a switcheroo there.
Yeah, do they just look like regular lollipop? Like if I dropped it off at the bank, would a little kid pick this thing up?
It is just basically a little lollipop. Yeah.
I like to be at the pharmaceutical board meeting when someone walks in and goes, I got an idea. Lollipops.
Don't make it look like it tastes good.
Exactly.
You know, it's like Tide Pods.
Here's a fentanyl ice cream sundae.
The kids are eating the Tide Pods. And Tide says, look, you know, even though it's the kids' fault, but they go, we've made it harder to open the bag because the kid can't open the bag. I'm like, how about you stop making them look delicious?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They look like Aquafresh toothpaste. They look like something any kid would want to put in their mouth, but Tide Stance isn't like, because it doesn't matter the color on there. It works exactly the same.
A fentanyl lollipop.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. I guess that would be slow acting because it takes a while to get through a lollipop.
Sure. But it's fentanyl, man.
It would probably work the same as a time-release drug to some degree within 5-10 minutes, I guess.
I mean, isn't like a potent edible brownie? I'm sure it works faster, but I mean, like, once an edible hits you, man, it's...
Who's got the key to the lockbox at the fentanyl lollipop store at the hospital? Because that's got to be a very trustworthy person.
I would not trust anyone.
You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't trust anyone.
Who do you hire to guard the fentanyl lollipop box?
honesty. You got to think, the street value would be huge.
Like, dude, I can get it to you in a lollipop. What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLOVE.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so I spent some time as a volunteer firefighter back in the day, and we got dispatched to a call that was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was a smoke investigation call. And with those kind of calls, you don't really necessarily run too fast. But about 30 seconds before we arrived on scene, we got a report that, it's a fully engulfed house fire. So we're getting our hoses out, and I'm taking hoses up to the door, and all of a sudden I'm like, this smells like weed. And kick in the door, start to go through the house, and you see all these plants. And now by this time we kicked in the door, we didn't have our breathing apparatus on.
Oh, no.
So it was beyond pungent.
Did you get real stoned in there, man?
Well, so I didn't realize it until we left, but actually.
Dude, I'm going to go to Sonic.
Well,
you need anything?
Here's how I realized that was after we got done, we just we were there for about an hour, hour and a half, but we wrapped up all of our stuff and we were riding back to the station and we saw a Jack in the Box and I realized I want two tacos.
For a dollar.
I'm probably stoned. And about not even halfway through that thought, one of the other officers I was riding with goes, I might be stoned because I want some tacos. And everybody was like, yeah, we went back to the station and ate.
And now that you're watching their commercials, it all makes sense.
I know.
What was burned or on fire? 844-999. Ola, more your calls coming up here in minutes. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
It is the stuff of cartoons, but Karina Gutierrez is not laughing. She's suing over the serious injury she sustained when she accidentally grabbed a stick of explosives, mistaking it for a candle.
And again, she's not from a Warner Brothers cartoon. This is an actual human being.
This is a terrible tragedy to happen to this family. We are thankful, although the mother was tragically injured, that the young children were not physically injured. I am committed to pursuing all legal actions. This is from the lawyer for the family. Gutierrez and her husband are suing the former owner of their home, and they could not be reached for comment. During powerful thunderstorms back in September that swept through the area, knocking out power for hundreds of citizens, including those homes where the Gutierrez family lived with their two children, power went out. Shortly after, Gutierrez began to search the home for candles. And during her search, she found what she believed to be a candle in the basement. When she lit the wick on top of the candle, it exploded. As a result of the explosion, the suit states that Gutierrez suffered serious injury to her face, eyes, and hands and was treated first at Bridgeport Hospital, later transported to another hospital. In the meantime, local police and the state police bomb squad evacuated the family and cordoned off their home as the investigation continues.
I can't believe she wasn't killed, man.
Lit a stick of dynamite instead of a can.
It blew up in her. All right. I guess it was dark because the power went out. I mean, in my mind, she has a flashlight or something, right?
You would hope so.
You would think so. So maybe if it's pitch black and you're in the basement and you feel something with the wick, you light it, maybe. But I also think the minute you light the wick, you tell the difference.
I wouldn't go looking around the house for something that wasn't mine in the first place to light.
Okay, that's a good point.
I would know where my candles are.
Right, where that stuff is.
I know where something is, hopefully, in my house. You know what I mean? Like in the event of a power failure. What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
It is like a triumphant moment, right? Like, the power goes out and you know where your flashlights are.
And they work.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. Like, last week, I just had this moment. I'm like, oh, I'm good, yeah. All the battery.
Because how long did your power go out for?
I don't know. Just a couple minutes, okay. Man. It wasn't all too right. Bad, all but right. I could not believe all the my kids' toys, all the batteries are dead, but the flashlights still work. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Hola.
Hey, so I got a good one for you. So when I was in fifth or sixth grade, my buddy invites me to this fancy local athletic club. And I go with him. It's nice. We take a swim in the pool. Then we go in the sauna. It's like this indoor sauna. And the dude's got to pee. So he says, hey, I got to pee. And I say, yeah, dude, whatever, fine. But I'm like, pee on the sauna. And like he was thinking
no.
The exact same thing. I know, dude, jumps up onto the wooden bench, drops his swimsuit and starts. And I can't tell you how bad that smells. He just, I don't know if he was shocked or what, but he finishes out the stream. We leave. And the vents out of the sauna are just billowing smoke. So I tell him, okay, you got to act natural. We go into the dressing room and we start to get dressed. And then we manage to take off our swimsuits. And then the fire alarm starts going off. So, like, we're wrapped in towels, just buck-ass naked, looking guilty as hell. And we go outside. Everyone goes outside. And we're standing there. And apparently they go and investigate. I go to the front desk and I go, hey, what's going on? Trying to act all cool. And they go, oh, yeah, we think the sauna's malfunctioning. And I say, okay, well, if you know that, can you turn off the fire alarm? And they're like, no, the fire department has to do that. So we wait there, buck-ass naked. My friend looks guilty as hell because he's an honest guy. And the fire department comes, and somehow we don't get caught. But, man, that is the worst smell I think I've ever smelled in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
I got to think, you know, because you're saying it's the worst smell ever. I've heard other stories of people doing it. I would think the people that work at the gym would know that smell, right? Because nothing else smells like burning pee.
Because they say accident, like, oh, it malfunctioned. But, like, you had to know what that malfunction was. And we're the only people not wearing clothes. So who is it? But for some reason.
Look, man, they try to be courteous with how they state things, right? So I was on a plane. The plane's delayed. And according to the flight attendant, it's because of a hazmat situation. And instantly, I said to the dude sitting next to me, somebody asked themselves. And he kept laughing like he thought it was hilarious. I said, man, I'm not joking. He said, hazmat. I said, bro, if it's hazmat, they evacuated the plane. When someone S's themselves, we sit here and I call it hazmat. Sure enough, someone S's themselves through their pants into the seat in first class.
These seats are so comfortable.
Oh, dude, the whole plane reeked. Like, I told you. I told you someone S's themselves.
Yes.
Hazmat my ass.
Be careful of the font. What was burned or on fire? 844-999-OLA.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.